Open your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. We said last week that we would use this hour to get our thoughts and our minds ready for our vacation Bible school starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, in which we're going to be looking at five of the Lord's parables. We wanted to get our hearts and minds pointed in that direction this morning by looking at the answer to the question that was asked of our Lord by his disciples. Why do you speak to them in parables? So let's talk about parables for a little bit this hour, and let's talk about why Jesus used parables in his teaching. Our Lord was the master teacher. Jesus brought light into this world, and part of that bringing of light was done through his teaching. He revealed much-needed spiritual truths to mankind in a way that was easily understood. And as you look at our Lord's teaching, you can't do so without talking about parables. Our Lord employed parables. He used parables in his teaching. How much? Well, if you take Matthew, Mark, and Luke, called the Synoptic Gospels, and you take all the teaching that Jesus did in those three Gospels, and you laid them out, 35% of his teaching was done in parables. Just roughly over a third of his teaching is in parables. So if we're going to understand our Lord's teaching, we need to be familiar with parables. We need to know what parables are and be able to understand parables. What is a parable? I think most of us have handy that good basic definition. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That is a basic definition, but really, it's a very good definition. It's one that we can get our hand a hold of, and it can help us to understand what a parable is. The word parable, as it's found in our New Testament, comes from the Greek word parabola, which is actually a compound word, para meaning near, beside, or with, and balo meaning to throw. And so the idea is that you're throwing down two things next to each other, and the purpose is to compare the two. So the definition given by Vine, I believe it is this word means to cast alongside for the purpose of comparison. With this Greek word parabola, I can't help but think of the word parallel. When I think of parable, now I think of parallel, cast along beside of. You've got two parallel lines. They are right next to each other. That's what you have in a parable. You have an earthly story. Okay, we understand that. We can get that. Well, here's the heavenly meaning behind it. Here's the spiritual truth that earthly story represents. I remember and love the way that our brother Harold Smith used to speak of parables. He reminded us of the way another gospel preacher taught here at one time, the way with a parable, if you can understand this, then you can understand that. If you can understand the earthly, then you can understand the spiritual or the heavenly. And this comparison between the two, the earthly and the spiritual, I've already seen one of the bulletin boards that's been prepared for this week, and that's the comparison that's there on that bulletin board. So that's what we're going to be looking at in our classes this week as we study parables and look at what parables are. Jesus, in his parables, Jesus used common everyday people and familiar situations to reveal truths primarily about the kingdom of heaven. And in the parables of our Lord, he emphasized so much the character or the nature of the kingdom itself, because it's completely different than what the Jews were looking for and anticipating and wanting. But the parables also talk about the king or God or Christ. But these parables also teach us a lot about the character of kingdom citizens. So the time that we spend looking at parables is time well spent. We're looking at the kingdom of Christ. We're learning more about God. And we're learning about the kind of people that God expects us to be in his kingdom. Jesus used parables at all times in his teaching. He used them when talking to the multitudes, but he also used parables when the 12 were with him privately. And when Jesus confronted his enemies in debates with the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, he would use parables to condemn them of their sins, to expose their sins and condemn them. And so Jesus used parables in all of the aspects in which he was teaching. The name of Jesus is the name most commonly associated with parables. If we take ourselves out of this setting right here in this class and the theme for our VBS, and I just mention the word parable, what person comes to your mind? It's Jesus. The name of Jesus is so closely associated with parables, we might be surprised to learn that he wasn't the first to use parables. We actually find some parables in the Old Testament. Some of the judges used parables. Nathan, when he condemned David of his sin with Bathsheba, did so with a parable. Parables are found in the wisdom literature as well. We also learn from secular history that the rabbis of Jesus' day used parables in their teaching. So when Jesus went out and he used parables, he wasn't introducing a new format of teaching. The Jews were already familiar with parables. The Talmud, which is a written record of the oral traditions and teachings of the rabbis around the first century, the Talmud is full of parables that were taught by the rabbis. But our Lord's parables were different than the rabbinical parables. The rabbis taught parables that would connect the people to the old law, to the law of Moses, or to the traditions that had been built around the law. Jesus, of course, taught his parables to connect people with the kingdom of heaven and to help them to draw closer unto God. What Jesus was doing in his parables is he was taking the truth that they needed to hear, the truth that the religious elite were keeping confined and locked up, and he was taking it and revealing it to all the people who needed to hear it. How influential have our Lord's parables been? Well, some expressions that we use in everyday life can be traced back to the parables. Even non-religious people talk about good Samaritans, don't they? When we mention good Samaritan, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about a good neighbor. We're talking about someone who does good for someone else. Of course, that came from Luke chapter 10. That came from the parable of the good Samaritan. There have even been hospitals called Good Samaritan Hospital, traced back to our Lord's parable. When someone talks about counting the cost, that can be traced back to the Lord's parables. Someone waiting until the 11th hour to do something, that came from one of our Lord's parables. Hiding your light under a basket, burying your talent. We use these phrases in everyday life. They came from our Lord's parables. That's how influential his parables have become. Our Lord's parables, many of them were very simple. Remember, here's the idea. If you can understand this, then you can understand that. And simplicity is the key to good teaching. So many of our Lord's parables are very simple, and the meaning can be understood very simply. However, not all of them were simple. Some of our Lord's parables were quite complex. And when we approach these parables that are complex, we need to have some rules in place in understanding, properly understanding these parables. Parables were often used by our Lord, even the complex parables were used by our Lord to make a single point. And that's the proper use for us to make of the Lord's parables. See what that point is, allow that point to be made, and then move on. That's what Jesus did in his teaching. He'd give the parable, the point would be made, and he would move on. And that's the use that we need to make of parables. A lot of the details that are found in some of the parables, especially the complex parables, some have called those stage props. They're there to allow the story to be told. We are not to take our Lord's parables and find a meaning for every single thing in the parable. That is a mistake. Not only is that unnecessary, that can even be harmful in our study. For instance, in studying and preparing for this lesson, I learned that there have been some who have taken the parable of the Good Samaritan and they have tried to assign a spiritual meaning to the wine and the oil that the Samaritan used to clean the wounds of the man who was beaten, or the bandages that were used, or the innkeeper. What a terrible mistake to make. The point of that parable is, go and do likewise. Who is my neighbor? Which one was the neighbor? The one who helped, the one who was in need. Go and do likewise. That's the point of the parable. Or with the prodigal son, when the son comes home and the father gives him a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and shoes for his feet. Some have written a lot used a lot of ink on a lot of paper to try to assign meaning for these different things, such as the robe being God's grace that covers our sins. Now, what that is, that's just a beautiful picture of a homecoming and a son being welcomed back into the home and back into the family by a father who loves him and is rejoicing that he's come back. To extend that further, here's the thing that I've learned. We have to be very careful that we don't take the parables and stretch them beyond their intended meaning. That's doing damage to the Lord's parables. Allow them to sit there to make the point, and then let's move on from it. And so as we're spending this week digging in the parables and investigating parables, let's be very careful as we're doing so, making sure that we're not assigning some meaning to things that really aren't intended to be there. Let's return to the question where we started. Why did Jesus use parables? Here in Luke chapter 13 and at verse 10, and the disciples, after he gave the parable of the sower, and the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" It appears this is the first time that they've heard Jesus using parables, or it's the first time they've heard him using it in a public way. Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you using parables? And I think it'd be fitting for us to join them in this question. Jesus, why do you use parables? Why did he use parables? Three ideas I want to share with you. Why Jesus used parables. Number one, parables are good memory tools. Parables were used by the Lord so that those who were listening to him could remember the teaching. Today, when we're listening to religious teaching, when we're in Bible classes or we're listening to sermons, it's not uncommon for us to be taking notes, right? Some of you are doing that right now, aren't you? Taking notes. Maybe you've got out a pad and a pen. Maybe you've got out your device and you've got your smart tablet and you're making some notes on that. In all of our Lord's teaching, I never read anywhere of anyone who's listening to it with a scroll and pen and ink, and they're taking notes. The people that listened to Jesus talk, by and large, wouldn't have had that on hand. Jesus is the master teacher. He knows the most effective way to get the message out so that it can be understood and so it can be retained and recalled later. And dressing a sermon or a point in a story is a great memory device. It's a great tool. It would be a way that these listeners could take what the Lord taught and take it home and recall it later. Do you remember the story he told about the sower went out to sow? Yes. Bam, bam, bam. There's those four soils. Here's what it represents. It would be easy for them to retain. So Jesus is the master teacher. He knows how to be the most effective in his teaching. He used parables because they were word pictures, they were stories that allowed the listeners to be able to hang on to what was being taught, to be able to recall it later on. So I believe, number one, that's why he used parables. Secondly, all teaching needs a good illustration. Illustrations help with teaching. And so what Jesus was doing in teaching in parables is he was illustrating and revealing his message to others. Every parable of Jesus used physical situations that were common and understood by the people of his day. They are normal people that they could relate to doing or encountering very possible situations. when Jesus talked about, behold, a sower went out to sow, it's very likely many of the people who were there had actually done that themselves. And if not, they'd certainly seen other people do it. A very familiar thing. When Jesus stood in the multitude and talked about the kingdom of heaven being like a woman who hid leaven in 3 loaves of bread, it's likely every woman who was listening to him had done that. They could relate to that. They could understand that. When he talked about a man finding a treasure that had been hidden in a field, that would have been something that could have happened. They probably would have loved for that to happen to them. They could relate to that very quickly and very easily. And so he used these stories, he used these real life events to illustrate these spiritual truths. Many of the Lord's parables were very practical, self-explanatory, easily understood. The meaning was there on the surface. And again, if you can understand this, then you can understand this. So Jesus used parables to reveal his message, to illustrate and reveal his message to others. However, Jesus also used parables to conceal his message from others. And you may think of this point, look at this point and think, doesn't that contradict the previous point? Doesn't that go against what Jesus would have been trying to do? Wouldn't a teacher want everyone to understand? Yet, when Jesus is asked the question by the disciples, why are you doing this? This is the answer that he gives. So let's read the text here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. The question has been asked, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Jesus used parables not only as effective memory devices so that the listeners could get a handle on the teaching and take it home. He used parables not just as a way of revealing his message to others, but Jesus also used parables very effectively as a means of drawing out those who were really seeking the truth. You see, the multitude would come and listen to Jesus, and Jesus would speak to them in parables, and there would be some who would say, well, that sounded neat. And then they would go home, and that would be it. But there would be others who would hear about the kingdom, and it would spark an interest, or it would connect with an interest that they already had, and out of their interest, they would come to Jesus to learn more. And that's exactly what parables did. Remember, why did most people come to Jesus in the first place? It was because he was working miracles, wasn't it? Multitudes would come to him and bring those who were sick and those who were suffering, and he would heal them, but when he did so, he would also teach. They weren't there, all of them weren't there necessarily to hear the teaching, but there was an audience, and he would teach them. Now, how are you going to find those who are really interested in the kingdom and those who are not? Parables. Present a parable, especially the complex parables, where the meaning is not so obvious. In order to really understand what they mean, you're going to have to come to Jesus for an explanation. Just go down a few verses in chapter 13 and verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. Those who had the interest, enough of an interest to come to Jesus and ask, what does this mean? Those were the ones to whom it had been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The others, they saw and they heard, but they didn't grasp it. They didn't understand. Not because God had already chosen who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost, but because some people had a heart that wanted to know about the kingdom. And others, like many around us today, simply weren't that interested. Weren't interested enough to follow up and to learn. So why did Jesus speak in parables? Third, the answer he gives to the question in the text is he did it as a means of separating the true followers from those who were not really interested. Who's really interested in the kingdom? The parables drew those people out and brought those people unto Jesus. This week, we are going to spend our time investigating five of the parables that the Lord has given us. That's the theme of the week, is that of being an agent, a secret agent, or an investigator, or a private eye. We've got these parables, and we're going to look into them. We're going to investigate them. We're going to dig into them and see what it is that the Lord has to teach us. Monday night, we're going to start with the parable that you need to start with. That's the parable of the sower. That is the parable that introduces the parables. And so that's where we're going to start on Monday night. What does that parable mean? What does it mean to us today? We're going to talk about the prodigal son on Tuesday night, the parable of the talents on Wednesday night, Thursday night, the Good Samaritan, and Friday night, we're going to end the week the way that the Lord ended the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to talk about the wise and the foolish builder. And upon what are we building our house? So that's what's in store for us this week. I'm looking forward to this week. A lot of time, a lot of effort has already gone into this week. A lot more is going to happen today, later today. And then starting tomorrow, we're going to get involved in this Vacation Bible School. I'm looking forward to it. And I know that you are as well. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you sent your Son into this world, not just to be the atonement for our sins, but also that he came teaching us about the kingdom, and that it's through his teaching that we can learn the truths that you would have us to know, the truths that can draw us out of this world of sin, to make us your people, and to equip us to serve you until heaven becomes our home. We pray that you would bless the Vacation Bible School that is starting tomorrow night, that much good would come from that effort. But we pray that you would help all of us every day to better understand the teaching of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're dismissed to our classes.